Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title. History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons, and I know sometimes I criticize Stephen A. Smith, but he is he's a pretty entertaining dude. That made me laugh.
But you know what? That made me laugh, but also got me a little fired up.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm a Celtics player hearing that or a Celtics fan, I'm like, what is it? The Knicks fans, they think they got a good team, man. They just think they're so good. And he's rubbing it in your face. It just kind of... Thank you. That's fuel. If I'm a Celtics player, I'm listening to that. I'm like, all right, bro.
Yeah.
All right. I hear you. Okay. All right. I hear you.
Yeah. Now you're all excited. I hope you hit your shots, Mr. Celtics player.
I hear you. But that would, man, I'm telling you, the way he's hyping up his team, please. Oh, I'd take issue to it if I was a Celtics player. I hope they do. I hope they have some pride, man. Hope they come out in a different the mindset because
they will.
Look, that opening quarter, they were terrible. They shot 29% from the field in the first quarter and still had a one-point lead. So, and then they had a 16-point lead at halftime by only shooting 44%. And I found it interesting. And this is if I'm Charles Barkley, listen to what Charles Barkley had to say at halftime of this game. I would have said the exact same thing Charles Barkley said. I was thinking it. I'm thinking the Celtics played terrible, and they still got a 16-point lead. Listen to what Barkley had to say about the Celtics at halftime.
Yeah, they can't beat these guys four times in a week. They just—it's too many matchup problems.
And that's exactly right. I mean, the way the Celtics play the Knicks, typically, it's a matchup nightmare for the Knicks, and they always get exploited. And so I was feeling as confident as Charles was at halftime of that game, and then the third quarter happened. 19 of your 20 shots were three-point attempts. That is lazy, lazy basketball, in my opinion.
Okay, so let's take it to lazy, lazy sports talk radio, Fitzy.
My favorite kind.
Did the Celtics lose this game or did the Knicks win it? I feel like we're painting a picture of the Celtics lost the game. Like, we're almost, I don't know if we're discrediting the Knicks or whatever, but did the Celtics lose or did the Knicks win?
Oh, that's interesting you put it that way, because I had a friend who's a Knicks fan send me the video, the Knicks recap. So it was a New York Knicks feed grabbed the NBC Sports Boston Encore post game with Abby Chin and Chris Forsberg and said how lame it was that Celtics media blamed the loss to the Knicks on the start time of the game, bad weather, and fan attendance.
Oh.
I mean, oops. Holy smokes.
I blamed the fan attendance a little. Does that make me part of Celtics media? And Ted brought up the start time of the game. Oh, guys, no, we're part of this.
You guys are the problem once again.
Guys, no, but seriously, like, do we want to just get the entire world rooting against us? Because we know, and nobody wants to cut any slack for Boston. Like, everyone, they hate us because they ain't us. I get it. But, like, if we're going to start reaching for, like, we lost it more than they want it. And, well, the start time was 7 o'clock on a Monday is inconvenient for everyone. And, like, well, the weather was kind of bad. You're right, actually. And, well, the fans had to wait a long line for hot dogs. Like, oh, my God. How about just, like, the Knicks played better and the Celtics went to sleep, like Ted was saying, in the second half?
But wait a minute. The NBA is very analytical, and the analytics say the Celtics missed their shots. All of those stats that were making the rounds today on open threes, very open threes, wide open threes, they missed them all, and their percentage was down significantly from what they usually hit during the regular season. So some of this is just a bad night. You had a bad night shooting, and I go the other way. Because you had a bad night shooting, to me, just opened the door, and then Jalen Brunson and Anunoby and Bridges, they took that opportunity and said, okay, well, if you're going to let us hang around and you're going to leave the door open, well, then I'm going to beat your ass. Because I thought they beat your ass down the home stretch there. You opened the door, and then they took advantage of that hole. Yes,
exactly. Before you guys
raised your hand to say exactly?
Before you guys continue, so Fitzy, who was citing the start time and the weather and all that crap?
There's a video. I will send it to you,
actually,
gentlemen.
No, I think we have the audio from it. There we go. Oh, yep, we got it.
The little baby.
Okay.
That little baby Celtic fan.
It was a little bit, I mean, it is NBC Sports Boston. They are the home of the game. They are the green teamers. They are
the homers of all time.
Yeah.
I love when other teams, other teams' fan base watches the other, our post-game shows.
Right.
And I got ripped by Buffalo fans
oh, yeah.
for calling them out for losing to the Patriots when they only threw the ball three times in the win. And it's like, what are you guys doing watching our postgame show?
Right.
It's
they're hate watching. They're looking for things they can mock and tweet. And
you don't think fans like sometimes listen to others? Like sometimes when Boston beats New York, Ted, I'll tune into New York sports radio just to hear them losing their minds, whether it's baseball, preferably football. Sometimes basketball.
And then are you surprised?
That's part of the sports schadenfreude, of course.
I guess. I just kind of is odd to me that you would do that. But, hey,
but
to each his own.
At its base level, I do think the Celtics at the very least were – I said it about the Bengals in the season opening loss to the Patriots. They were willing victims. They played a significant role in their own defeat. And that doesn't mean I'm not giving Gerard Mayo and the Patriots credit for the win. The better team was a willing participant. And the Celtics last night were very much a willing participant in their own demise. And then Brunson and Anobi and those guys took over and they closed it. And that's another thing that Jason Tatum's going to have to deal with. There were four superstars that played last night, in my opinion. Four superstars.
How'd the other three do?
Awesome. Awesome. SGA was great in a losing effort. It took a ridiculous Jokic game, or just a Jokic game, because he's ridiculous.
What a game, by the way.
It's insane.
My God. Then he was out at bars in Oklahoma City partying afterwards.
And Jalen Brunson. The stars, there were four stars. There were two games, four stars, three stars showed up. One star didn't. And that is something that happens on and off in the months of May and June in recent years in postseason runs. And we were wrong, Ted. I know you like your victory lap. Sometimes we need to admit either we were wrong or we weren't quite right. I don't know if Jason Tatum has turned the corner we gave him credit for turning.
You're right. You're right. And I thought maybe we saw a little bit of we saw some fire. We saw JT acting in ways, at least in that Orlando series, in a way that just, I think, fueled our take about
him.
We've been high on Jason Tatum ever since the game way back when.
Miami.
Was
second quarter into the third quarter. Just, halftime fight with Missoula.
Early February, where it just
inflection
felt
point.
Things turned around.
Oh, not just, that phrase again. No.
Well, he's a smarter player than he's ever been. He knows how to break the double teams. You like his decision-making better than it's ever been. His overall disposition, it just feels like it's changed a little bit. He even admitted it, saying, look, after he got one championship, this has been just a better, easier kind of season for him, and he looks more relaxed. And then last night happened, and you go, oh, crap. I've recognized these behavioral patterns. These are the ones that get him in trouble. This isn't good. So you're right. I'm a little bit kind of like, should I have said as much as I did about JT? I mean, everyone's entitled to an off night, so we'll see. But there was just, again, too many things that I saw from Jason Tatum that were not good that reminded me of the bad Tatum in the past.
And it started right out the gates because we were praising him for the Larry Bird efforts, the three straight games, 35 or more points. He hit every three free throw. I think he had hit 35 in a row right up until last night. Then he misses immediately.
Didn't he miss three or four, Andy, by the middle of the second quarter?
Yeah.
And thank you for bringing this up because I got lost in our tangents and diatribes to date on last night's game. Where was angry Tatum? Where was focused Tatum?
He had a week
Where
off.
Was aggressive Tatum?
He had a week
Where
off.
Where was brand new postseason 2025 Tatum?
Week off. No one punched him. No one hacked him. Where was the guy who grabs his wrist and holds the three? I think I said this to you guys. I was worried last week that they might have a week off and angry Tatum and the guy that was, you know, pushing away the coach from Orlando and was reacting. That guy who seemed like for that series was in kind of a dogfight that brought the dog out in him. Mm-hmm. That guy had a chance to just be like, yeah, we got a week off.
Yeah,
I'm going to go home, play with Deuce, maybe get some tacos and see what happens next. It was gone. That fire was gone.
And it'll be this tomorrow's show is going to be mostly, do we think Tatum can bounce back?
Yes.
That's going to be tomorrow's show. We're going to be talking about that. Can Tatum, look, all these other stars are getting theirs. He played terrible last night. He's played brilliantly, I think, for the second half of the season. And then he had last night. Will he answer? Will he step up?
No.
No? Okay. Well, then,
Raffy, I don't like your attitude.
Can we go back real quick, though, to Andy? You brought it up. You know, and I was transfixed by all the videos of Jokic going out to Oklahoma City bars with like a tan compression sleeve on his arm and some dude who's an OKC fan just going like, Thunder and Six, I can't believe I'm at a bar and Jokic is out partying now after they stole one tonight. Folks, last night, the dude played 42 out of 48 minutes, scored a point per minute. Now, I know he's not the same player, different game, different size, all that jazz. They don't even have their head coach anymore. Jokic was head coaching, drawing up plays last night in the huddle for them on the sidelines, encouraging his teammates. 42 points, 6 assists. Ted, 22 rebounds. I mean, you cannot have a more all-time dominant performance. That is what you do when you have to rise up and your team needs you in the occasion. I know he didn't ultimately hit the game-winning three. That was a hell of a shot that guy made, by the way. But, like, Tatum last night complaining to the refs, taking 34 awkward foot threes. Like, it was just disappointing to see him revert back to that Tatum that often gets criticized in the postseason, Andy, as opposed to the one that we were lavishing praise toward last week against the Magic.
Well, I'll tell you, I thought he was closer to a guy we criticized earlier in the show for the Knicks, Karl Anthony Towns. Mm. Tatum was closer to Karl Anthony Towns than he was to Brunson, SGA, Jokic last night, the guy that's like, follow me to freedom, guys. Hop on the back. Let's do this. He was frustrated. He was immature. He didn't play well. He let the game conquer him rather than conquering the game. And we've seen that at times. We saw it in game one against the Orlando Magic. He had a bad game one. Then he got hurt. Then he comes back, and he ends up having a great conclusion to that series. Hopefully that's what happens here. If I had to bet, and I don't have to, but I might anyway, if I had to bet, I think you take the over on Tatum tomorrow night. I think you take the over on the Celtics. I think they will bounce back. It will really, because then we're having a totally different discussion on Thursday. If he comes out and he struggles, and you also have this everlasting internal struggle with the team, because I think JB was frustrated last night. I think Jaylen Brown was frustrated with the way they played. I think he's very...
The game plan?
The game, oh, 100%, he was mad with the game plan.
The game plan is almost the same every night. Like, right. I don't know.
And he's okay. He's like the rest of us. He's okay when it works. But he's like, if I'm going to defer and play your game, you better make sure your stupid game is a successful game. Because otherwise, maybe we need to play my game sometimes. And I think he has that.
Says the guy that took 10 threes last night.
Because that's their game. He's just being a good
team
player.
Only half as many as Derek White.
Right. He's just being a good team. When this is going to be the
Derek
dumbest,
made more than him.
The dumbest homer take I've ever had. But when Jaylen Brown is missing 9 threes, he's being a good teammate. He's playing their game.
Wow. Okay.
He's doing it their way. He's playing their style basketball because his style of basketball is different than that. But he's deferring to the coach and the star, and we're going to play five out, and we're going to play your stupid way of basketball. And a 9 times out of 10, 8 times out of 9, it works.
It's funny, the parallel. I don't know. This just hit me. You have, again, Jalen Brunson with 3 fouls at halftime. Big Cat with 3 fouls at halftime. Yeah, let's take 20 three-point shots in the third quarter to start the second half when if you just attack the rim and get these guys in
game over.
You don't. You can't make an adjustment. You can't change what you're doing based on the what's going on in the game.
Don't say can't. Won't. It's a stubbornness. Okay. It's an arrogance. It's a, and I don't know what you want to call it. It's that. And you've seen it in football. There's plenty of football teams that do that. There's plenty of football teams that do what they do, play the way they play, and then they lose, right? They meet the good coach or the bad matchup, and they're like, oh, well, we do what we do. This is what we do. Ah, we're Blitzburg. We play the zone blitz. That's what we do. Most of the times it's successful. Over the entirety of a season, we'll win 9 or 10 games, maybe 11 games, except we don't have an adjustment. Whereas we, as football people in this room with Belichick over the years, saw enough examples, not even just week to week, but like, oh, AFC Championship game to Super Bowl? Yeah, we'll change it up if we think that's the best way to win. That is not the Joe Mazzulla style. And I know we're crossing sports, and it's basketball, and it's football.
That's fine.
You play the way you play, but you just played a different way. That's the frustrating
part. Against Orlando.
We're not asking you to do something like you've never done before.
Yeah.
You did it a week ago. You did it a week ago very successfully, and I would argue in very entertaining fashion.
And you got to the free throw line all day in that series.
It's like they don't care that guys on the court have fouls. It's like, oh, what does that matter? We're shooting threes. What does it matter?
You know what?
They have for fouls?
But they dominate the Knicks in the regular season doing it their way. Why should it matter now?
Because it's been trending in the wrong direction. It's the postseason.
And it's a different style of game in the postseason.
Well, that's also part of it. Your boy Tatum was criticizing the refs. It's like, no, they were fine. We don't even need refs. It's a physical stuff. We don't even need them out there kind of thing. So he was kind of complaining while not complaining. It was classic Tatum in there.
That was an interesting line from, of all people, Jason Tatum, like, don't even really need refs out there. Are you comfortable with that? Because I'm so sure true. The Knicks would absolutely love if they took the refs out.
What team would benefit most by not having refs out there?
Oh, the Knicks.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
So, JT.
Yeah, you don't think that.
Take that back, bro.
The only one on the Knicks that would probably like it is Karl Anthony Towns because he was pissed off at them every possession. He is a little soft. I used to like him. Yeah. The more I watch him.
Hart, his teammate Josh Hart was getting into his. Like, they don't even like him. His own teammates don't even look like they like him.
Well, because they probably look at him and the body language goes south. And that's where I say there's a little Tatum there, a little body language, a little frustration, a little immaturity.
Now we're understanding why Minnesota would have been willing to move on from him. Meanwhile, now Minnesota's moving on with those parts from the New York Knickerbockers of last year. And that'll make an interesting series out west.
And that's a question. Do you think they're having these conversations in Cleveland right now? Are they having these conversations in Oklahoma City about
their star?
No, just about their team being down 0-1 because all the underdogs have won the first game. And we're in Boston. You are the defending champions. You proved last year you can win. You proved last year there's probably going to be a one-off game here or there. Do you think they're having these conversations about the Cavs and the your Thunder, Ted Johnson?
Probably not. I mean, they're not wired the same way as we are. We're a little deranged in our fandom. My feeling is that they aren't because they've seen their stars, not have tendencies that would make them doubtful about their playing further on in the series.
So Oklahoma doesn't even know who they are. I think what we're worrying about is the Celtics' inconsistencies of past postseasons might be a factor in this team, and we had put those to bed. With the title, we had put those to bed. With the regular season this year, we had put those to bed.
Yeah.
And now you and I, and I think we speak for others, are like, maybe.
You know what it is? Don't we all have this hankering for, a back-to-back championship? No team has done it in the last 7 years. And to really, really, really feel like you have a program and a franchise that is worthy of being considered great, you got to win multiple championships.
Yeah.
That's the angst that we're feeling, I think. How do you validate last year's? You go do it again.
Right.
Good point. Guys, a terp chirp, if you will. Justin Turpin just reported just a couple minutes ago on Twitter. Celtics injury report for game 2 versus New York is out. Sam Hauser, right ankle sprain, doubtful.
Oh.
So there goes some of your 3-point shooting bench depth. We'll see how that affects the game plan tomorrow night, Teddy. And illness, non-COVID, Kristaps Porzingis, the zinger, is listed as probable.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so he'll be back. That's great, which makes me even more angry that you missed last night.
How about Sam Hauser doesn't get in the game until 4 minutes in the third quarter? 4 minutes in the third quarter. Now, he had a bad series against Orlando, but
I'm not going
to worry about that?
No,
okay.
I'm more worried about the top of the depth chart than the bottom of the depth chart.
I
want Tatum to look like Tatum. I want JB to bring the fire that he brings.
Yep.
And I would like Porzingis to be on the bench, be on the court, be ready to do your job. Not have Mexican or whatever the hell went wrong with you yesterday.
That's a downer.
Be smart.
For goodness sakes, Andrew.
Before we go to break, let's get to, I'm intrigued by this. Mark in Connecticut. Why Tatum isn't great? Why is Tatum not great, Mark?
Ted Johnson, love you, brother. You took the words right out of my mouth. You got the Knicks and multiple players in foul trouble, and you aren't going to have the eye of the tiger and the killer instinct, Tatum, to drive the ball to the hoop and get these guys into more foul trouble? I mean, what are we doing? We just keep putting up pop shots? Like, come on, guys.